the image, and it's a durable image, of women steadfastly devoted to both causes, never deviating from the goals of their nation, really isn't quite accurate. Most women did support their causes, did encourage their cause, but many women became disenchanted with the war on both sides. Many of them didn't want their men to fight. Many of them encouraged their men to try to stay home, desert if they'd been in the army. So there's a range there as well. Let's look at the ideals for women at mid-century. Both North and South had them. They're very different from our ideals today. Never fall into the trap. We've talked about this before in the class of trying to take our understanding of events from our time and apply them to the past to understand how people acted or believed then. If you want to find out how people acted and why they acted, go to what they said, what they wrote at the time. Might be very different. We can use images about bodies as an example of this. What was the ideal image for a woman then in terms of how she should look? Body shape. A British visitor in 1868 recorded these observations about American women. The American girls themselves, I think, are nervous about their thinness, for they are constantly having themselves weighed, and every ounce of increase is hailed with delight and talked about with the most dreadful plainness of speech. When I asked one beautiful Connecticut girl, whom I met in Pennsylvania, how she liked the change, "Oh, immensely," she said, "I've gained 18 pounds in flesh since last April. It's wonderful." Well, that, of course, is at odds with what we see in newspapers and see on television now. We have to remember always to understand people of a different era. Go to what they said. Go to how they acted. Don't try to impose our understanding. All right, let's look at ideals and start with the Northern ideal. It went along lines of something that has come to be called the cult of domesticity by historians, and this applies to upper and upper middle class women, white women in the North. The ideal. As manufacturing and industry progressed in the North, work increasingly became separated from the home. There had been a good deal of production in the home earlier in United States history. Things such as cheese and dairy production would have been carried out in the home rather than in a more centralized fashion. That's changing. And as that changed, the idea of separate spheres for men and women came into place, places where men and women were expected to apply their activities. Business and politics belonged solely to men under this idea of separate spheres. Women were considered weaker physically and intellectually. To women fell the domestic sphere, the task of nurturing children and maintaining the home and providing the proper guidance and moral tone for the family. Women were considered inherently superior morally to men. If men had greater intellect, if men had greater physical capability, women had a much superior, much more finely developed moral sense, and therefore that skill would be put to work in the home. These ideas about separate spheres became codified, if you like, in this cult of domesticity. There were books and magazines and lecturers and clerics who would hammer on these themes, that God granted women special moral gifts to preserve society. Men went out into the world in politics and business, where they were subjected to all kinds of evil influences and temptations, and men were weak anyway. They could be expected to give in to these temptations, but women would furnish in the home a moral base to which men could return. So this is the kind of division of spheres that is popular in thinking in the North as we come toward the Civil War. In the South, the idea of the lady was the ideal for upper-class women and upper-middle-class white women. The image of the ladies, now this is not Scarlett O'Hara. Scarlett O'Hara didn't fit that image because she gets out into the rough and tumble of business with her lumber companies afterwards. She goes against the ideal of the lady in many ways. Melanie Wilkes is the character from Gone with the Wind who exemplifies these notions about what a lady should be. Manners and purity made the Southern lady. She was to be educated, but only to the degree that she could converse with men, to be engaging and uplifting in this conversation. She had to know enough to manage the considerable domestic production of a household, but according to the ideal, a lady would never demean herself, as they would put it, by cooking or cleaning or any kind of hands-on labor.